You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Striking Corner. This is episode 17 of The Striking Corner podcast. And once again, we are here on the mic, myself and my good friend, as always, Vinny Scotto. What's up, Vin?
Hey, Eric. How's it going?
You sound cheery today. What's up, man?
Not much. Had some birthday celebrations this weekend. Still trying to recover.
all right, man. So, yes, Vinny, when was your birthday again? March 27th, is that what it is?
Yes, it was.
Oh, man, okay, so if anybody is interested, which I doubt, you guys can send a happy birthday message, belated birthday message to Vinny at vinny@strikingcorner.com. All right, so.
Why do you doubt that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because
you're an asshole.
I don't know. Oh, man. All right. Well, this one got started, escalated pretty quickly there, man.
Anyway.
All right. So what we're going to talk about today, what we're going to talk about is what is on everybody's, what everybody's been speaking about the last couple days now, obviously, which is Lion Fight 21 and the results of Lion Fight 21. We're going to go over the televised bouts, obviously. There were some amateur bouts. Congratulations to the winners in those fights and to both sides that fought and stepped in the ring. Congratulations to both. But like I said, we're going to cover only the televised portion of the event. I'm going over, obviously, the marquee fights, the ones that stood out to the most to everybody. And that's what we're going to do in this podcast. And maybe just relax and not always be so serious. We always, you know, we always bring on guests, but this time we want to, you know, talk about the fights and then just, you know, just relax and talk about different things related to the fighting sports. Besides that, we are also, one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to point out, obviously, you guys have seen the changes around our Facebook, social media pages. Right now, Facebook is still in transition, I think, right, Vinny? I think it's like a 14-day waiting period
before they said they were going to have to let people know, and because the name is so different, it wasn't just like a single character change. We're changing the entire name, so it's a 14-day wait period before they change the name.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be changing the name of Muay Thai is Life to now The Striking Corner. Something that Vinny and I have been talking about for a while now is really we want to focus on the growth of the podcast. Meanwhile, we're still going to have news and events and talk about different things and have articles on the website. But really, one of our big focuses is going to be The Striking Corner as the podcast, plus a lot of new things that Vinny and I will definitely want to get into, which you guys will notice as the website moves on and as the new website comes out. You're going to see the different changes that we're making and some of the exciting new things that we want to add. So The Striking Corner, it is now basically, just to give you guys an update, if you follow us already on when you followed us as Muay Thai is Life, if you followed us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, all of those things, all, you know, it's still going to be the same. You don't have to change anything. What we did is we changed our username. So what you're going to see is the @strikingcorner. That is our username across the board. So it's on Facebook, it's facebook.com, you know, /strikingcorner. On Instagram, @strikingcorner. And on Twitter, @strikingcorner. But if you already followed us, you know, it's going to be totally normal. You're just going to see that coming up now. Muay Thai's Life is not going away forever. That is my baby. That is something that I always loved. That was a name that we came up with a long time ago when we first started doing this. So it's going to be pretty much like the proprietary clothing line of our podcast. Not like a huge clothing line. I mean, really just going to focus on t-shirts and different fun things that we want to put together, and hopefully people will be interested and go out and buy them. So definitely that's going to be our focus with a t-shirt, more or less a t-shirt brand with Muay Thai's Life, and focusing on the passion that we have for Muay Thai. So besides that, nothing's going to change. Everything's always going to still be focused on kickboxing and Muay Thai. That is our passion. That will not change, and that is how it's going to be for the remainder from here on out. So just look for us, follow us. If you don't follow us now, follow us on The Striking Corner, @strikingcorner, all across the board, all across social media. With that said, let's move into the podcast, Vin, to the review of Lion Fight 21, man. So exciting night of fights, man. Definitely some surprises, obviously, but then some just really, really wild, crazy fights, some good, some bad. you know, but really, I think it was a good event for Lion Fight, Lion Fight 21. I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed pretty much every fight. What did you take away from it?
Well, actually, watching the fights the first time, I didn't really take much away because, like I said, it was my birthday. So I was at a bar watching them, and I was kind of falling in and out with the, you know, the shots of Jameson flowing a little bit.
Yeah.
But I rewatched them today just to go over and make sure I didn't forget anything. They were pretty good fights. A couple mismatches here and there, but for the most part, pretty good. The one thing I noticed about it being that it is full Muay Thai rules, I noticed that a lot of people didn't really use teep kicks, and you know, it was a lot of more boxing than I would hope for. So, I mean, that was just one, you know, small thing I did notice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I mean, but what did you? Was there any specific fight? I mean, we're gonna go on each fight one for one. But was there any specific fight where you felt like there was guys that were maybe pushing more of the Muay Thai style than others, or what?
Well, obviously, you know, Malipet took his fight this time a little bit more seriously, and he's obviously got more of a traditional Thai style. Mm-hmm. But you know, other than that, I didn't really notice anyone who was pushing it more than the other. Well, actually, I can't say that. I would say Victor Saravia was a little bit more. I mean, he used boxing, a lot of boxing in the first couple rounds, but then towards the end, he started using his kicks more. And I noticed Sam Poulton was a little bit more just moving forward, trying to clinch more than anything and throw elbows.
Yeah, well,
that was pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that we'll go into more into that, more detail into that fight, because that one was definitely the fight of the night. I think one of the, honestly, I think one of the best fights that I've ever seen on a Lion Fight card. It was very exciting, and I think it does, for me, honestly, and in my opinion, and I don't know how people feel across the Muay Thai community here in the States, but I feel that was one of those fights that if people tuned in at that moment, had never seen Muay Thai before, you were going to get hooked. I mean, that was a hell of an exciting fight. And there's a lot of things to be said about Victor Saravia, because I'm really, really excited about that guy and his fighting style. And then Sam Poulton, yeah, sure. I mean, he lost the fight by unanimous decision on points, but you know, that fight was, you know, he really stood in there and tried to do his best and kept on going forward. I mean, he never gave up, you know, a testament to what the Muay Thai spirit is. And that guy really, really put both of those guys put on an amazing show. But let's, before we get into that fight, let's get started with the first fight of the televised card, which was Nick Chastain versus Tony Fausto. So take it away, Vin, and then I'll throw in some comments.
I mean, I thought that was a little bit of a mismatch there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nick Chastain has, what, 5 pro fights now? Tony Fausto is his pro debut, mm-hmm. which, my opinion, is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, I think as on your pro debut, you shouldn't be fighting someone with 5 fights experience. You should be fighting against someone who is also debuting, or even maybe just 1 fight. But you know, 5 fights under your belt on pro cards, you shouldn't be fighting. It goes both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, as someone with 5 fights, you shouldn't be fighting someone debuting and someone debuting. You don't have the experience to fight someone with 5 fights.
Yeah, I mean, so I agree with that. I kind of say that I think Eric Haycraft said it on a podcast a while back that he was saying normally the normal stepping stones that you would have to become a pro in the United States is usually, I mean, the normal flow of things is usually, yeah, you're going to step into the ring and you're going to fight the 0-0 guy or the 1-0 guy when you make a pro debut, and then you start stepping up to a 2-0 guy, or maybe a 2-1 guy or a 1-2 guy, you know, somebody that still has that experience and sort of at your level. And I did, like, once again, I did feel like it was a mismatch. I actually thought Tony Fausto started okay. You know, I think he started all right in the fight. It seemed like, you know, he was really, you know, he really wanted to impose his style and impose the fight. He was aggressive. He had a tendency to be that. He has a tendency to do that as well. But Nick Chastain just started picking him apart. And honestly, out of a lot of the fights that I've seen with Nick Chastain looked a lot more. He's usually a slow starter, very traditional Muay Thai. So he's usually a slow starter. Is not very aggressive. Doesn't throw a lot of hands. But it seemed like he went, you know, whatever he did in his camp, he went. He was going in a lot with his punches, throwing combinations, and they were landing. And he was catching Fausto, you know, more often than not with his hands, and that was actually giving Fausto a lot of problems. And it just snowballed from there, where he was obviously getting the upper hand consistently, and Fausto just didn't have a response to that.
Yeah, but I'll say one thing about Fausto though. For even though he was getting picked apart, and towards, you know, right before they threw in the towel, mm-hmm. his leg was all torn up. He could barely walk. He was still trying to move forward. You know, I'll give him that. For all four rounds, he was still trying to move forward, even though he was taking a beating pretty much.
No, yeah. I mean, no, that's like I'm saying. I mean, he went forward. He fought really well. That is, like I said, a testament to the Muay Thai spirit. We saw that on a lot of the fights here in Lion Fight 21. And he fought. Yeah, like I said, he started off good. I thought he was going to do pretty good based on what I saw in the first couple of exchanges in the first round. But then it seemed like Nick Chastain started, you know, just peppering away, especially those leg kicks. There was a part in that during that fight where he landed like three or four successive ones, and you know, he was just tearing apart his leg. And then obviously when he saw Fausto, sort of, you know, grimacing every time he got that leg touch, or he was off balance because he didn't want to get hit by that leg kick anymore. You know, you're going to go in for the kill. Any fighter is going to go in for the kill once they see that they're causing that amount of damage. But still, man, he stuck it in there. I mean, I honestly think had his corner not thrown in the towel, he would have continued to go on, because he seemed like he didn't want to give up.
Yeah, he would have definitely kept going.
Yeah, so basically, in that sense, Nick Chastain wins that fight by ref stoppage, a TKO in round four. So Nick Chastain moves on to a record of 4 wins and 1 loss to Tony Fausto's 0-1 record on his pro debut. So moving on from there, and, you know, I will agree with Vinny, honestly, though. I do feel like that was a lot of times in Lion Fight. I like Lion Fight. I think, you know, there's a lot of criticism, and I want to make something clear. When we criticize here on the Striking Corner, we don't do it because, you know, as a lot of times what happens in the Muay Thai community is if you say something about a fighter, you know, just doesn't look well, a lot of times the fighters take that as like a complete offense. But sometimes it's just like you're going to call it the way you're seeing it. It's not any offense towards any specific fighter or any specific organization, you know, as a whole, saying that, you know, either they didn't look good in that fight. They might be phenomenal. They had an off night. Or if it was Lion Fight, you know, it might have been just for some reason the fights didn't turn out exciting like, you know, one would think. So it's not a criticism of the organization as a whole. I think they are a great organization. I think they're honestly the only ones doing Muay Thai, traditional Muay Thai, for the entire Muay Thai community in the United States. They're the only ones that are up there, you know, at a high level, putting on some high level shows and bringing on some big names. So I appreciate them for that. But obviously, you know, there are things that still need to be worked on. And one of those things, as Vinny said, is that Nick Chastain, Tony Fausto fight. It seems like, and it seems like in some of these fights, when I watch some events, they are like just horrible matchups that seem like they are just completely mismatches. And that, you know, sometimes is going to sort of give a black eye to a good event. This one, I think, was a mismatch, but Fausto made a fight out of it. But honestly, Nick Chastain was too much for him.
Yep.
So moving on from there, we're going to go to the second fight, which was Josh Shepherd versus Jose Lopez. And Vinny, I'll let you start with that one too.
I mean, there's not really much to say about this fight. They started clinching from the beginning, mm-hmm. pretty much. Jose Lopez was, you know, he tried to throw a little boxing flurry in the beginning, some punches, and then Josh Shepherd clinched him up and just pretty much took over from there. He clinched him until he hit him with a really solid knee, and that was the end of the fight.
Yeah. I mean, that was I would say at first looking at the fight, when I saw him go, them both come into the ring, I was like, wow, you know, Jose Lopez. I'm sorry. Definitely, you know, he was a lot smaller than Josh Shepherd. Josh Shepherd is a big dude, man. He is a tough kid. I've seen him fight a bunch of times, man. He's aggressive. He's strong. He's just a nasty fighter, you know, and really, really, really solid guy. So, I mean, it could have, I don't know if that was a mismatch or not, because definitely there was too little. We really saw too little to see, you know, what Jose Lopez could really bring to the fight. Quick stoppage for Josh Shepherd. Like I said, the guy's a beast. He's a really strong, tough kid. Yeah, man. I mean, there's not much else to say. They both clinched up, started trading knees, and Shepherd just got him with a textbook, you know, like it was just the knee to the rib cage, knee to the liver, man. It was really nasty. And Lopez went down, and that was it, you know, KO in the first round. So congratulations to Josh Shepherd. and he actually moves his record also to four wins and one loss, which is five pro fights. Jose Lopez actually has nine pro fights. He moves to a record of five wins and four losses. So now moving into the fight that everybody that I saw on social media was going crazy about. Vinny, I know you were really you liked that fight too. You said you went back and rewatched it as well, which was Victor Saravia versus Sam Poulton. Hell of a fight, man. I can't say enough about it. I'll go into it after you make your comments, man. But I just, this fight to me was a big deal for a couple of different reasons for me. It stood out for a couple of different reasons for me.
Yeah, it was just a really good fight. I mean, they were both they turned it into a battle. I mean, Sam Poulton has an incredible chin. Mm-hmm. He took some serious shots and still just kept on moving forward. Victor Saravia, he's just a really good technical striker, trying to, you know, pick him apart. I mean, he landed some really good shots. He wasn't able to, you know, he knocked him down a couple times. He wasn't able to put him down for good, but mm-hmm. he was just, I was really impressed. I've never seen, you know, either one of them fight before, and I was impressed.
Yeah, I actually saw Victor Saravia fight, I think once or twice before on the previous Lion Fight cards. He struck me always as just a solid, solid fighter. I think he was scary, you know, from the get-go. He actually, there's been two fighters that have come out of Lion Fight, and, you know, that I want to mention their names as two of the guys that just have blown me away because they're newer to the game, but they just look so incredibly solid for how new they are to the game, and that's Gaston Bolaños out of CSA, tremendous fighter. He's actually going to be fighting, I believe, on Lion Fight 22. He's actually one of my favorite fighters, young and up and coming into the game. And then Victor Saravia. This fight, to me, just completely solidified that this kid is, he's got a huge, a big future. Obviously, you know, the commentary during the fight from Chiavello and Miletic during the fight was also talking about how impressive this guy is, because he's only got three pro fights, but he's just incredibly solid. I mean, there was a couple of combinations that he put together that he ripped maybe in the first round. He ripped like a solid jab, cross hook, low kick, you know, but just so crisp, so clean, and just so vicious. I mean, the style that he has, it was just, everything was just mean and solid. I mean, and let's talk about it too. I mean, they went five rounds, and it never looked like Saravia was slowing down. You know, you would think that he was going to slow down and slow down his style. It was just stronger and stronger as the fight went on. I mean, credit to Sam Poulton, definitely, because, I mean, Sam Poulton went in there and he wanted to make it a fight. He wanted to make that thing as gritty as possible, you know. So
yeah, they started off the bat having an elbow battle.
Yeah, yeah, just, yeah. No.
Throwing elbows.
I mean, I could see that Sam Poulton, I mean, really of a lot of what he wanted to do. And I don't know if he noticed, like what I said, what I noticed at the beginning with Saravia, which was when he was putting together those combinations that Saravia has are nasty. You know, like if he gets his hands on you and then throws leg kicks, I mean, he's going to throw a leg kick, he's going to throw a body kick or a head kick. If he gets anything on you or you give him that space, he's going to start picking you apart, but like destroying you. And I think Poulton noticed that, and he started pushing forward, you know, to get up in his face and just clinch him up and just make it a real nasty elbow battle, gritty, you know, that's what he did like throughout pretty much the entire fight. He was trying to do that. And, you know, I mean, Saravia was trying to also show his technique and still not turn it into too much of a brawl. But it was hard for him because obviously Poulton was turning it into a brawl. But it was a hell of a fight, man. I honestly feel that fight was important because, like we were saying earlier, if anybody tuned in to that at that moment, had no experience in Muay Thai before, had never seen a Muay Thai fight before, and was just channel surfing, they have Access TV, and they click on at that moment and they were to see that fight, man, that's the type of fight that's going to attract people to the sport. That is the type of fight that is going to get people to look at Muay Thai and be like, well, I mean, if I was watching that fight and I didn't know that it was Muay Thai, I'm a fight fan, I'm just a lay person that doesn't really, you know, watch fights, but I enjoy it, I'm gonna look at that fight and I'm gonna be like, what is this Muay Thai, man? This is crazy, you know. And that fight right there was the best for me, one of the best fights that Lion Fight has ever had in the events that they've had. I mean, that's how strong it is, and it stood out to me. And then also, it just made me a huge Victor Saravia fan, and I can't wait to see what else that guy's gonna bring to the table, because I honestly think he's gonna be a future champ in that division.
Yeah, and just to confirm exactly what you were just saying. This lion fight, I like we all know it was my birthday and I was out drinking at a bar. But anyway, they put the fight on because I asked them to. They had Access TV and I asked them to put the fights on, so they did. And during this fight, people who, you know, weren't part of my group, because it was me and, you know, a few friends and a bunch of guys from my gym, people who weren't with us that were not paying attention didn't care. During this fight, I noticed other people catching on and start watching it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they were getting into it because of how good of a fight it was. Mm-hmm.
No, I know. I mean, it was just action packed, start to finish. It was one of those fights that a lot of people like to see. Is this, you know, there's one guy, which in this case was Sam Poulton, which, you know, if we're going to be realistic about the point scoring and everything like that, he was, you know, Sam Poulton was losing on points pretty comfortably to Victor Servia, but he still was a fight where he was not giving up. He was trying to consistently make sure that he always stayed in the fight, that he was going to make Saravia earn it no matter what. And that is something that people like to see. I mean, you never know, because in those type of situations, even when it looks like you're down and out, there's always going to be that guy who's like a guy like Sam Poulton where, you know, like I said, Saravia, it was crazy that he had the cardio he had to continue, you know, working and being that aggressive no matter how, you know, deep into the fight they were. But you never know, like in a case like Sam Poulton, with that type of heart, that type of conviction to keep going forward, had Saravia not had that cardio, had he not had that, you know, had that drive to continue on and be able to do look as solid as he did throughout every five rounds, I think Sam Poulton couldn't have taken over the fight if Saravia didn't have, you know, that gas tank either. There's always a way to come back, and if the other guy's fading, and Sam Poulton definitely looked like he, you know, he was going to make it a fight, anything could have happened. But at the end of the day, you know, Saravia was just too good, and he's just, like I said, he's a phenom, man. He's going to be a real future. He's a future prospect and somebody to definitely keep an eye on. So moving on from there, we're going to go actually to the, what is that? That's the fourth fight of the evening, which was Malapet versus Ben Yell. You know, Vinny, I know you were mentioning it before. You felt that Malapet sometimes doesn't seem to take fights seriously when he's fighting, you know, American opponents or foreign opponents, and especially in lion fight. And it seemed like this one, he took it a little bit more serious, man. It looks like he was really ready to go, and it seemed like he wanted to finish that fight, but Ben Yell wasn't going away.
Yeah, no, he definitely, he definitely trained for this one. Mm-hmm. But even the last one, the ones before that, he was just always messing around, like, you know, being a little cocky, playing games. And this time he just not his usual smiling, playing around self. He was just serious. Mm-hmm. He went in there and just went for the win. I mean, you know, Ben Yell, he did a great job. I mean, tough guy. He, you know, he stood in there, but still Malapet, you know, outscored him on all aspects pretty much. Except for, you know, towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of what we've seen and sort of par for the course with Malapet is for a while was that it didn't seem like he trained a lot. I mean, I think he even mentioned it a couple times during some post-fight speeches or post-fight interviews where he was talking about, you know, oh, he only trained for like a week or so before the fight, didn't seem to be taking it too seriously. And the guy's got what? Some like 181 professional fights.
100, yeah.
So 181 professional fights. I mean, obviously, he's going to have the experience. Even if he doesn't train as hard as possible, he's going to be able to give you some problems. But I think he was kind of doing himself a disservice by not taking fights so seriously. And that was kind of affecting him in performances before. But in this fight, he definitely looked like he wanted to put away Ben Yell. Ben Yell was a tough guy staying in there, but he was outpointing him pretty easily. I think, like I said, par for the course with Malapet for a while was always that he would be pretty flashy, pretty strong in the first couple of rounds. And then if he didn't finish the fight by then, he would start fading in the latter parts of the fight, which are rounds 4 and 5. Which I think in a lot of ways was what Ben Yell was kind of working towards. I mean, Ben Yell, I think in his mind was like, if I get to round 3 or 4 with this guy, I can start, you know, putting on some pressure and maybe start winning it because his cardio is going to fade. And he did a little bit. I mean, I do feel that Malapet started fading in round 4. Honestly, when I was actually watching or looking at some of the play-by-play on Sherdog was now doing, which is covering Lion Fight. Sherdog actually had Ben Yell taking round number four, which I feel, it could have gone that way, because that was the time where it seems like Malapet started taking the round off a bit. Sort of picked it up again in round five and basically rounded out the fight and ended up winning comfortably by unanimous decision. But definitely, I saw more from Malapet this time. It looked like earlier in the fight, he definitely wanted to finish Ben Yell, but he didn't have the opportunity to because Ben Yell stuck it out. But in the end, a unanimous decision win for Malapet. And man, I just hope he continues looking like that, because with 181 fights and the quality of fighter Malapet is, if he trains, man, he's going to hurt anybody. So, I mean, if he takes it serious, he's going to hurt anybody, man. All right, so moving on to the co-main event of the evening. It was Tiffany Van Soos versus Chaj Mobelakol. Man, I mean, I don't know if you want to chime in, but that fight for me was just weird, man. I mean, you know, I'm not going to, like I said, I don't want to say anything bad about anybody, but, you know, it's just, to me, it was just a real strange fight. I mean, Tiffany Van Soos, obviously, she's a tough girl. She's always going to go in there and fight. I don't know what Chaj Mobelakol was really doing. She just has this really strange style. It seems like she was just real mouthy, really trying to get in Tiffany Van Soos's head, trying to talk a lot of shit or whatever, and kind of being a little bit disrespectful, you know, not moving from the corner when Tiffany Van Soos was trying to steal the ring, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, and Tiffany Van Soos was just getting angry, and obviously she, you know, she almost knocked her head off with an elbow and knocked her mouthpiece straight out of her head, man. But you know, Chajma, she was able to stay in there and take some punishment, but at the end of the day, it was just really weird fight. And Tiffany Van Soos wins it easily, to me, by unanimous decision. I don't know, man. I honestly haven't seen a lot of Chaj Mobelakol. I know she has a lot of experience, but it was just really weird. I don't know how she has that much experience and sort of that style. It's she has this strange style, man, which doesn't seem to wasn't doing her any favors against Tiffany Van Soos, man.
Well, honestly, I was always taught that if I have nothing nice to say, to not say anything at all. So I think I'm just going to keep my mouth shut at this point.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I mean, it was like I said, man, Tiffany Van Soos is a tough girl. I think she's kind of had this thing where she's had her opponents. Some of her opponents have been good. Some of her opponents haven't been so great in Lion Fight. You know, she obviously fought Kaylee Reese, which is one of the toughest girls in the world at the, you know, for that featherweight title that she lost, the featherweight title to Kaylee Reese. But, you know, I don't know, man. I don't think Chajma was really a big test. And I really think there's a lot of other, hopefully she gets a big test soon and can really, you know, showcase what she can do. Because really, in this fight, I don't know, man. I just kind of felt like the other girl was just so bent on disrespecting her or just being like in her face or whatever that you could see she was during the fight. She was pretty much really, really flustered. And Tiffany Van Soos just wanted to knock her out. But, you know, this girl was tough. But besides that, she didn't have any of the skills to really trouble Tiffany Van Soos too much. I think one of the things is they were, you know, the commentary and everything, they were trying to sell this as like, you know, Tiffany Van Soos, like it was an absolutely amazing performance. It was an amazing performance, but it was like a performance against somebody who, I don't know, it seemed like they didn't come to fight. They just came to like kind of mess around. At least that's in my opinion. So it might be harsh, but I really didn't like Chaj Mobelakol's style in that fight. And I think Tiffany Van Soos deserves a lot tougher opponents. And she's going to get one, obviously, in Lion Fight 22. She's actually going to be fighting Bernice Aldis, who's a fighter out of the UK. He's got like 35 wins and 2 losses. She's really, really tough. So I can't wait for that fight. I really think that's where Tiffany Van Soos is going to be able to showcase her skills and, you know, how tough she is in that division. And she's going to be fighting for the featherweight title. That's the one where I really want to see. So this fight, it went 5 rounds, but, and some people were like saying it was exciting or whatnot. Honestly, it wasn't an exciting fight for me. It was just weird. Just weird all around, man.
Agreed.
So, all right. So we're going to move in from there. We're obviously going to go to the main event.
Ladies and gentlemen, the end comes at the official time. 2:43, round number one. Referee Colban puts a halt to the bout for your winner by TKO victory and new Lion Fight super lightweight champion of the world, Tetsuya Kimsu. Kimsu.
So, yep, Tetsuya Yamato wins the rematch, the highly anticipated rematch against Kevin Ross in devastating fashion. A stoppage TKO in round one due to elbows. Just hell of a performance by Tetsuya Yamato. Just a testament of how dangerous that guy is. You know, really heartbroken for Kevin Ross, man. I think a lot of people were definitely, you know, just really excited for this rematch. Like, I wouldn't have minded, honestly. I didn't want him to lose. I wanted him to win that rematch. Kevin Ross has actually, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Kevin Ross has actually never lost a rematch. So this was the first time he actually lost a fight that he was in a rematch up against Tetsuya Yamato, the first time he lost a rematch. So I just wish it would have gone on more, man, because the first one was such a battle, such a war. And I really thought we were going to be treated to the same thing. And I feel like Kevin didn't get a chance to showcase probably how much he's improved since that fight. But obviously, Tetsuya Yamato has improved, and he had a game plan, and he executed that game plan to perfection. You know, he hit him with a beautiful left hook to the body that sort of that definitely hurt Kevin. Kevin drops his hands, uses the same left hand, left arm, throws a left elbow, wobbles Kevin Ross, prompting Coban to step in and give a standing eight count. And then afterwards, after that standing eight count, it was just a crazy flurry of about seven or eight elbows, straight elbows to Kevin Ross. That a lot of people were saying, you know, that it was an early stoppage, you know. But honestly, you can tell by Kevin's demeanor after the stoppage that he knew that he was either out or he knew that the stoppage was correct. But man, what a stoppage by Tetsuya Yamato, man.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, Kevin Ross, he couldn't recover from that first initial elbow. I mean, even the body shot, you could see, even hurt him a little bit. And then the elbow right after. And then even with that eight count, it just wasn't enough time to recover. The flurry came and it was done.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, man, I think that was part of the strategy there, because like you said, that body shot made Kevin drop his hands, because it hurt him enough to where Kevin dropped his hands. And then Tetsuya, you know, closed the distance through a quick, you know, left horizontal elbow, dazed Kevin Ross, obviously prompting the ref to come in and give the eight count. And yeah, you could tell. I mean, you could even tell the demeanor after the stoppage by Coban, which Coban is an incredible ref. After the stoppage by Coban, that Kevin's face was basically like he knew he lost and he knew that the stoppage was correct. But like I said, man, Kevin Ross is by far my favorite American fighter. I even wrote a small thing on the Striking Corner, because I was reposting something that Kevin actually put up, which was showcases the sportsmanship that we all see and that we all love about Muay Thai. And Kevin Ross is the kind of the epitome of that. He posted up a picture where Tetsuya Yamato is on the ropes, you know, yelling to the crowd, hands up in the air, has the belt around his waist. And Kevin Ross is right there next to him, clapping, you know, looking at the crowd as well. And that's just, you know, he knew, man, it was Tetsuya Yamato's night. He executed his game plan, you know, hurt Kevin the way he needed to hurt him. And that's just the way the fighting sports go, man. You know, and especially with a guy like Tetsuya Yamato, I mean, Kevin Ross always faces some of the top guys, or the top guys in Muay Thai at his weight class. And when you do that, you can't win them all, man. So, you know, shout out to both of those guys. Tetsuya Yamato, hell of a fighter. He's gonna be awesome to see who they're gonna match him up against to defend that Lion Fight title. But also Kevin Ross, can't wait to see him back. Always an exciting fighter, and just a tough son of a bitch, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, wish it could have just went on a little bit longer, because if it did, would have been a serious battle.
Oh yeah, man, because he's never gonna back. Kevin Ross doesn't back down. I think everybody knows his style, man. And I think like I said, if it would have come later and we would have had a battle, I would have been like, damn, man, you know, crap, you know, I would have wanted Kevin to win that fight, and I wouldn't want to see him go out like that. But at least if we had seen, you know, a four or five round battle and that happened, you'd kind of be like, okay, man, I got my money's worth on that fight. But I think it just stopped way too early. But it ended way too early. The stoppage was correct, but it ended way too early, and I would have loved to see it go on. So with that said, that was Lion Fight 21, an exciting night of fights, really. Some two solid, well, you know, it was actually a couple solid fights there. I think Lion Fight's definitely improving. The officiating was definitely improved. I don't think there was anything controversial about any of the officiating that I saw this time, which you know, Stefan and us we discussed it last time on the Striking Corner. We always had these sort of issues of you know, the judging and the refereeing in some of these events, but it seems like bringing in guys obviously like Coban and Crew Knockweed and all these guys that have tons of experience in Muay Thai is definitely going to help raise that level, and where we're going to see guys go in and fight and be able to fight and be able to showcase their Muay Thai skills without, you know, the ref playing a part in that. So obviously a shout out to Lion Fight on that, which I believe Lion Fight 21 was a hell of an event and probably one of the best ones they've had so far, and definitely the best fight of the night, and the best fight of Lion Fight up until this point I feel was at Lion Fight 21. So shout out to Victor Saravia and Sam Poulton for putting on what was a hell of a matchup.
Yeah, the only thing I'm a little upset about is that they still have not removed that graphic in the beginning of Lion Fight. The one that says that elbows trump all, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we already discussed that like ad nauseum on the last podcast with Stefan. But yeah. I mean, I don't know why they keep putting that up. And I don't know, man. Even with the commentators, when they put it up, it didn't seem like... Like, even Chiavello wanted to, like, go too in-depth into that graphic. He just kind of waited for it to pass, you know, because I think they even know that it's incorrect. I don't know what it is. I don't know if that's part of the programming package of Access TV, like, of the graphics and the tiles and the things that they already have made up for their programming. And it's just, like, that graphic, they just always feel they have to throw it up there. I don't know what it is. I think that needs to be...
Your graphic designer, maybe you could make them a new one and send it to them.
I mean, yeah, man. I mean, I work on stuff like that, but... I just don't know why they do that. I don't know why they don't change it. I mean, it's pretty simple to change it. Just put, like, you know, or I don't know why in Lion Fight. I know Lion Fight, hopefully they don't. I mean, I don't think they're judging like that where elbows are the number one, you know, scoring factor. I don't think that's how they're judging fights. So they need to showcase how they're judging fights, which is what we discussed with Stefan, was really all around about damage. Obviously, in Muay Thai, the kicker is really going to have an advantage over the puncher, but that's really where it goes. I mean, it's really the hierarchy there is that it's really always about causing damage and what's showing effect, and that's how it should be described on that graphic. It shouldn't be this hierarchy of why it's elbows over knees or knees over kicks and then punches. It just makes it just confuses the viewer. Like I said, if you're gonna have brand new people coming in to watch that, and then they're watching these fights and somebody's throwing like six or seven elbows and then one guy lands a kick, I mean, what does that mean to the other guy? Does that mean that the guy who just threw six elbows is the guy who's winning? You know, or I don't understand. So you know, so that's the only thing that obviously all of us want to change about Lion Fight. But besides that, man, good show by Lion Fight 21. And I'm really happy that we get to see. I love kickboxing and I love Glory, and I'm glad we get to see both. I'm glad we get to see high quality Dutch kickboxing when it comes to Glory, and now high quality Muay Thai on TV at a high level when it comes to Lion Fight 21. I think Lion Fight 22 is coming up in May. Tiffany Van Soest is, like I said, is going to be fighting Bernice Aldis for that featherweight title now that Kaylee Reese has retired and vacated her belt. Quick thing I want to say is, like, shout out to Kaylee Reese, man. She's been one of the toughest girls in Muay Thai, toughest women in Muay Thai. For many years, she just announced her retirement a couple days ago via her Facebook and her social media pages, and therefore she's vacating that belt that she held for Lion Fight, where she beat Tiffany Van Soest. So Tiffany Van Soest and Bernice Aldis are actually going to be fighting for that title now. So that is very exciting. Like I said, Kaylee Reese, you know, definitely a legend for all females that want to get involved in Muay Thai. She's definitely somebody who was an inspiration to all of them and paved the way for a lot of women in Muay Thai. So, you know, shout out to Kaylee Reese on that one. All right, man. So what else do we got, man? So,
well, you had a pretty exciting weekend. I mean, you guys went to an event, you had five fighters in it. How'd that go?
Yeah. I had an event, a local event here in Florida, some Muay Thai fights. Some Muay Thai fights and some sort of amateur MMA bouts, which basically means they can go to the ground, but they can't strike to the face. So It was funny because actually our two, we had five fighters. We had two adults and then three kids. The kids were all doing the MMA fights, which are, they call them combat jiu-jitsu, because it's basically jiu-jitsu with some punches. They only allow them to the body, not to the face, and they allow kicks. And so all three of our guys won that. All three of the kids won the won their fights, and then our two adults won their Muay Thai fights. So we went 5-0, man, and that was pretty exciting, man. Pretty exciting.
sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, man, it's just good to like, I haven't fought, it's been over about so for the listeners, it's been about like 2.5 years since I last stepped in the ring myself. Really been focusing a lot on work, on family, on evidently the Striking Corner and the Striking Corner podcast and blowing this up and trying to help the sport grow. So I haven't been able to focus so much on training myself anymore, but I'm definitely trying to train new guys in the sport. And Florida has a long way to go. Florida, unfortunately, has a long way to go when it comes to quality Muay Thai in the sense of events. There's a lot of Muay Thai, great Muay Thai champions and fighters coming out of Florida. Guys like Alex Berrios, guys like Asa Tenpao. You guys also saw Bryce Lawrence. He fought on one of the last Lion Fight card in Foxwoods Casino. He was there and he did a good job as well. So there's talent in Florida, but I don't know, man. Just when it comes to events, the events here are very few and far between for Muay Thai. It's like a hodgepodge of all sorts of weird, just weird rules. And like we discussed with Stefan, that a lot of people are laughing about. And it's completely true. I wasn't lying when I said that, which is that in the state of Florida, you're not allowed to throw a spinning back fist unless you hit with the knuckles, which makes absolutely no sense because it's called a spinning back fist for a reason. You're supposed to hit with the back of the fist. But here you will be penalized if you hit with anything other than knuckles. So they basically say, just don't throw it. Like, people that are in the know are just like, don't throw it at all. And actually last night, some girl in a fight, she did throw a spinning back fist. She landed it with the back of her hand. Nobody called it. So nobody said anything. But I'm pretty sure it just made me laugh again about the rule. But, you know, I don't think the refs even knew what the rules were because it's so crazy. But yeah, man. That's kind of what went down yesterday. So I mean, well, this weekend for me at least, with Muay Thai. But yeah, man. So you know, that's, and Muay Thai, like I said, man, Muay Thai is growing all over the place, and I really hope that it gets bigger in Florida, and maybe, you know, one day we'll be able to take some more guys to Lion Fight and really start being a hotbed for Muay Thai. More so than what we have now. We just have a couple limited gyms here that are really doing Muay Thai, traditional Muay Thai, or really good kickboxing. There's just a big jiu-jitsu community down here, man. Not so much a big Muay Thai community.
Yeah, I know how that goes, because me being in Staten Island, it's pretty much the same way. I mean, all over New York, I mean, you have great Muay Thai camps in you know, Manhattan and in Queens. There's good ones in Brooklyn and the Bronx. But when you get to, you know, the forgotten borough of Staten Island, it's mostly jiu-jitsu based. Like I, you know, my gym is really the only gym on Staten Island that's main focus is Muay Thai. Everyone else is Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's crazy because jiu-jitsu's just taken on. It's just gotten so big, and especially here in Florida, because most of you listeners, I don't know if you guys have been, if a lot of you guys know Florida or know, you know, the demographics here in Florida, but obviously it's a huge, there's a huge Latino population. There's obviously a huge Latino population from everywhere. So you have Colombians, Venezuelans, Argentinians, Cubans, Puerto Ricans, and then you have a large population of Brazilians, and obviously Brazilians, there's a huge jiu-jitsu. I mean, we have a Henzo Gracie school. We obviously have American Top Team down here. Marcelo Garcia had a gym down here a couple years ago. Now he's gone, but he went back to New York. But we've had, you know, there's just a couple of different Gracie gyms. Popovich is down here. There's huge, you know, the Black Zillions. I mean, there's a lot of big gyms down here, but a lot of them are focused either on specifically jiu-jitsu or specifically MMA. And Muay Thai is kind of falling by the wayside, which is what I'm trying to do with the Striking Corner, and what I'm trying to do with the gym that I have with my coach, which is Jose Mauricio Cal. What we're trying to do is build Muay Thai up here in the state of Florida. And you have a couple of other gyms here. Obviously, like I said, Alex Berrios and the guys at Tampa Muay Thai. Asa Tempao and the whole guys at Bowon Muay Thai and then Legends Muay Thai. There's a lot of really quality gyms now opening up, but hopefully that continues to grow. I mean, you're in Staten Island, but you're kind of in an area where you're trying to grow it on that borough. But you know, New York, at least you have, for your guys as you grow them, you have quite a bit of, you know, venues and different places where once you get your guys up to that level, you can test them. Here, it's a little more difficult.
Yeah, no, that is true, because I mean, you know, now I'm actually only open about a little over a year now, and I have first fighter coming out of my gym looking to fight in June. So there are, you know, a ton of events up here for me to go to. It's just that my only issue is in Staten Island, it's hard to get people to train Muay Thai because they don't really know about it. So that's where Staten Island falls a little short. But as for events and competition around, that won't be an issue at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, yep. New York, to me, both New York and California really seem to be the two, as I always say, two hotbeds of Muay Thai in the country. And then you also have, you know, obviously Vegas being a fight capital, when you're going to have, you know, Lion Fight doing their fights in Vegas. Now they, well, this weekend they did theirs in California. But you're obviously seeing, I think the West Coast is just, you know, really huge when it comes to Muay Thai, and then New York and that whole area. You know, Philly also has some talented guys, Rami Ibrahim and his whole gym, Justin Greskowitz. I mean, there's a lot of great guys in that entire area. So the Northeast for the U.S. is really where it's really strong right now. And then unfortunately in the South, we're kind of definitely got to catch up, especially Florida. And I just always say, man, when it comes to, I don't know why, and maybe, you know, listeners, if you guys write into us or comment on this is, I don't know what it is, because California, I would assume California, you know, has beaches. It has a lot of things that you could definitely be sidetracked by. You know, there's a lot of extracurricular activities you can definitely get into in California. But it seems like California, just there's just a lot of Muay Thai and a lot of people focused on wanting to fight. And I don't know what it is, man, but about Florida is, it's just, there's, I don't know if what it is about the way things are done here. Even and it's not even in Muay Thai. I mean, even sports, they have that problem too, where they can't keep a fan base. You know, the fan base isn't that strong here, you know? So I don't know what it is. I think it's just because there's so many people from different places. And that happens in New York too, but where there's a lot of people from different places, but they're like, I think a lot of people that they come from everywhere and go to New York, they still, once they get there and they live there a while, they consider themselves a New Yorker, you know? But in Miami, you don't get that, man. You know, wherever somebody comes from and comes to Miami, they're from wherever they're from, and they just live in Miami. Like, the attitude is always like, I live in Miami, but I am from wherever I came from. Because, I mean, you guys might know, I mean, when I first met Vinny was actually living here in Florida. Now he's gone back up to New York. But when you came down here, I mean, you were always still a New Yorker. You know, I mean, it's not like you appropriated being down here. You know what I mean?
No. I was there for 8 years. And the whole time I was there, I never considered myself a Floridian. I was always a New Yorker.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. That's what I feel like everybody is down here. It's, I mean, everybody is just from wherever they come from. Like I said, there's such an influx of different nationalities and different, you know, obviously most of it is Latino, because in New York you have different nationalities from everywhere. You know, it could be Russians, it could be, you know, Indian, Chinese, Vietnamese, whatever. But here in Florida, it's mostly Latinos, either that or Brazilians, which I guess consider themselves Brazilian. I'm Latinos, I don't know. But basically you have, you know, the Brazilians, and then you have all the Hispanics. And that's just the way it is. I mean, and they're always like, you know, I'm Colombian and I consider myself, I mean, I was born here in the United States, but I consider myself a American-born Colombian. I'm still very Colombian. And then you have your, you know, your Argentinians, you have your Cubans, and they're still very Cuban. They're still very Argentinian, and just Miami is where they live. So it seems kind of, so there's like no identity. And I think that happens to kind of go into why, like, sports and things, and everyone's sort of in their own little group. So it's been very hard for martial arts to grow here, maybe because of that, because everybody's kind of into their own little thing and they don't want to get out of their niche, and it's kind of very hard to attract other people. But it's starting to grow. So hopefully we keep on doing that with whether it's me just, you know, talking shit here on the Striking Corner and getting people to listen to the podcast, or just, you know, going to these events and fighting, I think that'll help it grow here in Florida. But doesn't mean for you guys that are listening in other places, you know, feel free to come to Florida and train with me, and, you know, come to our gym and help us out, you know, and definitely you'd love to see you got all the fighters out there, whether you guys are fighting in California or New York. Anytime you come to Florida, you guys have a place to train. Just hit us up. You hit me up here at the Striking Corner. Hit me up at the gym, which is Academy of Martial Arts. We're in Pembroke Pines, Florida. So you guys always have a spot down here if you ever come to Florida and want to train Muay Thai while having fun in the Sunshine State. So we're actually near Fort Lauderdale, and we're in between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. So we're close to everything that's you know, that you can get. Everything that you can get into trouble for, we're here. You know, we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it. So, yeah, man, with that, you know, actually, Vin, before we go, I wanted to give a huge shout out to the guys. I don't know what happened with our last podcast, in the sense of, you know, we had Daniel McGowan on from the UK. That was probably one of our highest performing podcasts. And when I looked at the amount of people that were coming in, to listen to the podcast, it was hilarious because it was like the entire McGowan clan. Like, this thing was like some sort of thing out of Braveheart, man, where it was like the entire McGowan clan, just like everybody that has had the last name McGowan tuned into that podcast. So, you know, definitely thanks to Daniel McGowan and his whole family and his extended family and all his friends over there in Bedford in the UK, for, you know, sharing our podcast with the world. And, you know, I'm glad we were able to get a guy as talented as Daniel on the podcast and talking about his story and as he continues to grow in the sport. But definitely that was one that pushed us, that has definitely pushed us in growing this podcast. So hopefully everybody continues to listen and, you know, so and that we continue to grow. All right. So in conclusion to that, you know, Vin, let's give a couple of social media things going here. You guys can contact us. I said, like, as we said, things have changed here at the Striking Corner. Well, Muay Thai is Life, the website where we have the Striking Corner podcast, is no longer going to be called Muay Thai is Life. Everything now across the board is going to be the Striking Corner. So you can find us on Instagram at Striking Corner. You can find us on Twitter at Striking Corner. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Striking Corner. And you'll see right now that it says Muay Thai is Life on there still. But like I said, Vinny was talking with the guys from Facebook. 14 days it's going to take before they're going to change the name over to the Striking Corner on our actual Facebook page. If you already like us and you already follow us, don't worry. You don't have to change anything. Those things already changed for you. We just changed the name. But you can now find us at Striking Corner on all of other social media platforms. And coming soon will be our website. We got a lot of surprises, a lot of things that we're really working hard on. We want to take this in a whole new direction, focus on our podcast, but also focus on just growing Muay Thai all across the board. So you can get in contact with me info@strikingcorner.com and eric@strikingcorner.com. How can they get in touch with you, Vin?
It's vinny@strikingcorner.com, and that's Vinny with a Y at the end.
All right. So also one thing before we go, I just want to give a shout out to, I never give a shout out to them, and I definitely should be giving a shout out to them. A lot of the music that you guys hear every time we do the Striking Corner is from a production company, two guys out of Hamburg, Germany. Their names are, their company's called Blunted Beats. They're actually on YouTube. They are on Facebook. Make sure you guys check them out. They gave me the permission to use their stuff, really solid hip hop stuff. So they are called Blunted Beats, and I thank them for allowing me to use the beats on the podcast. So that's about it, guys. We will be back pretty soon with a new podcast in 2 weeks. You know, we'll hope to see, hope you guys keep tuning in, keep sharing our podcast, keep sharing the love. Hopefully, help us grow this thing. We will want to continue to give you guys top notch Muay Thai radio entertainment, whatever you want to call it, here on the podcast. So thank you guys for listening, and we will hear from you soon.
And also one more thing. We had, you know, mentioned in the last one, we had a new segment about fan questions, which we completely decided to disregard this week. But if you do have any questions for us, feel free to send them over through email or at any of social media. And next time we'll try to answer them instead of just disregarding them again.
Yeah, so I'm actually, like I said, I've been promising that I was going to do this. I was going to put this on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm going to put up a little graphic that'll say, you know, fan questions, so you guys can basically comment underneath that. Give us suggestions. You know, tell us that you hate the show. Tell us that you love the show, whatever. It's all good. You know, all publicity is good publicity. So basically, if you have any fan questions, questions that you guys want us to discuss on air, any people that you definitely think we should have on or you think are interested on being on the show, hit us up. Hit us up at, like I said, info@strikingcorner.com and comment on the fan questions section, and we will read the best questions on air in the upcoming podcast. So I'm going to make sure that I put that up soon, and you guys will all have an opportunity to do that on the Striking Corner. So thank you very much for listening once again, and we will be back soon. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.